Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Buckley, good afternoon.
Everyone said, don't worry about the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I was expressing concern, a little doubts. I wrote a column about the 93 Giants, won 103 games, didn't make the playoffs.
It's a current reference for you, 93,
That's
huh?
pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I suppose you're going to go like 33. Good. Yep.
And then guys like you have a little pool party for the Red Sox every morning.
I had a big pool party, yes, at my parents' house. It was great.
And you're all,
we all went,
like, excited. They're going to break records. And I'm telling you, I had concerns about Sale going on the disabled list and about the bullpen. And if you can shut down this team's hitting, it's going to be hell to pay. And what's happened last week? All the stuff I'm talking about.
Yes, they have lost six.
So if you're driving home from the Cape, you're driving down from Maine.
Give us a call and vent.
No, I'm not fishing for calls. I'm just saying, be a little bit concerned because they still have six games against the Yankees.
Well, those six games against the Yankees, will Aaron Judge be in the lineup and healthy? Will Didi Gregorius be in the lineup and healthy?
Trouble. I understand all
so
that.
There's my thing. I mean,
we're having a Red Sox pool party again.
Don't worry, a pool party. It's there's some clouds in the air.
When did you become a big?
There's some clouds in the air. I'm a realist.
When did you become a fanboy?
I always call it like I see it. You know that.
You're not. You're being a Red Sox fanboy.
Why? Because this team that has 90 wins on August 26th is going to lose the AL East. Do you think that there is a legitimate possibility the Yankees make up all of this ground?
And I
really
picked up the phone. I did something that you never do.
What?
I picked up the phone and did some research, and I called up Darren Lewis, who played on the 93 Giants, and I said, what was it like?
He had some perspective.
It was the worst day of my life. That they go into that game, the Braves have already won their game, they got the West Coast game, and they go out and get destroyed by Colorado. They end up with 103 wins, and they do not make the playoffs, and they have like a huge lead, 90 wins on August, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then the Braves took off, and this is what happened. Every single year, there's a team that comes out of nowhere, and every single year, there's a team that doesn't make the playoffs that back in August, they're, what could go wrong? Like, and they have their little pool party.
So tell me how this scenario works out. So the offense continues to not
games,
hit for the next 5-6 weeks. I understand. I know that works at that level. Let's dig a little deeper. So how does this 5-6 week slide work? Does the offense go through this long extended slump?
Works.
So Mookie Betts, who is 3 for his last 20 entering today, continues to not hit at all for the rest of the season.
JD Martinez goes into a big slump. I take it back. I apologize. I don't know what I was talking about because I just did some quick research. Never before in history has a team gone into a big slump late in the season and blew a big lead.
And for this long, this would be a hell of a slide.
This
would be a hell of a slide.
Okay, and then every August, somebody like you somewhere in America would say, well, this would be a hell of a slide. This couldn't happen. And then Dale was big on this. It's like, in order not to...
Well, me and Dale always have the same mindset.
They always give the preposterous records. The Yankees would have to go 35-6,
right.
And the Red Sox would have to go 6-30.
Right.
And then
it
happens.
That's right, Dale. Me and Dale hive minds. We always are.
I'm not picking on Dale. This is a very nice speech. I don't know that Dale's ever said that.
It's a very nice speech you're giving here. But I'm asking you to give me actual examples about how this would happen.
I'll give you 12 examples.
Do you think this offense would lead the league in run score? Is it really going to go through a 5-6 week stretch where they score three runs or fewer in six of their last 12?
Never happens.
This is not going to continue.
History.
You got to give me more than that. Do you think it's going to happen?
Probably not.
Okay, probably not. So we're at the same place.
But I'm not there waving little pom-poms. Like
I'm not waving pom-poms.
You and Pete Shepard, you guys should get a place together.
Two guys who also think very, very similarly, me and Pete. Well, the playoffs are an entirely different conversation.
I miss old Alex.
We can get to the playoffs in a moment, but I'm talking about we. Yes, so I'm driving the bus here today. But let's talk about the rest
you got a little Red Sox
of the regular.
You
I'm most a Red Sox
a,
podcast without a curse.
Playoff
of course.
Shirt?
People, I love my socks. Love the socks. But the, come on.
Where did the morning guys find out you referred to us as
we? No, I'm saying we will get to the playoffs in a moment. I was talking about us two. Because I totally share your concerns there. I mean, I'm so concerned I can barely sleep at night over that. But, I mean, we've already seen the Red Sox.
Get some sleep at night. I don't sleep.
We've already seen the Red Sox, though, show a lot of resilience during this stretch. I mean, so let's go to last week against Cleveland. They lose 2 to the Indians. Carlos Carrasco's thrown Wednesday, and you go, all right, this, let's see here, because Carrasco's a good pitcher. Did they go into an extended slide? And what happens? They knock him out before, you know, in 3 2/3 innings, right?
Right.
And then they go on Thursday. David Price throws one of the best games of his career. So we've already seen the 2018 Red Sox show some resilience, which the 2011 Red Sox did not show at all during their September slide, obviously. So I have an example right there where the Red Sox stopped a 3-game streak in its tracks. In their next 6-buck, 2 against the Marlins, 4 against the White Sox. What do you think they're going to go? 3-3, 2-4, 1-5 against those teams.
I'll just give you a concern that goes beyond the lack of hitting. I know that Blake Snell's a pretty good pitcher, obviously, is in the mound today for Tampa Bay, Cy Young candidate. But look at the box scores over the last 8, 10, 12 games. Suddenly we are seeing starting pitchers going 4 and 5 and 5 and 4 and 6. Yes.
Yes.
And the reason they got bumped out of the division series by the Astros last year is because nobody could go more than 5 innings. Suddenly this juggernaut that won the AL East for a second straight year, Farrell couldn't find guys to go 5+, and you need an ace to walk out there. You know, granted, Price was
they got
hurt.
One baby, David Price. They got an ace,
and I mean he's lights out in the playoffs. So just
we're not talking about the playoffs. We'll transition to the playoffs in a moment. I'm talking about the rest of the regular season because you're telling me you think the Red Sox are going to fall to the Yankees and blow this division.
I just finished saying probably
okay,
not.
Okay, yeah. So
this is chinned up.
See,
I'm providing a measure of concern at a time when you're having a pool party.
So let's go through it here again. A measure of concern. If you were a betting man, Mookie Betts, is he going to break out of this slump?
Yes.
Okay, J.D. Martinez, will he continue to hit like he's hit all season long?
No, because his numbers were unprecedented. I mean,
so is it going to be a big swoon or what?
He'll come down to earth a little bit.
But it's coming down to earth for him. He hit what, like 45 homers last year? I mean, what's coming down to earth for J.D. Martinez?
The total numbers aren't relevant to the discussion. It's what he hits from here.
But what's down to earth for J.D. Martinez? What does that look like?
That he could hit, say, 290 to 300.
Oh, wow.
He's hitting a lot better than that.
Still pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. But Andrew Benintendi, is he going to go through a 6-week slide?
He's done it before.
Will he do it again?
Well, now you're going. You're asking me blindly. All I'm saying.
Because you got to explain to me how this works. So the starting pitching for the next 6 weeks, does everybody besides David Price only last three or four innings?
Because like you are again the pool party. Everyone's running around in little Red Sox jumpers and stuff. And I'm saying
Red Sox speedo. I graduated to speedos.
And suddenly the Yankees got the potential. I think if they win tonight, it'd be 5 back in the last column.
It's 5 in the last column now, right?
Well, that's a little something, you know.
But let's look at the Yankees. Aaron Judge still not swinging a bat with that fractured wrist. Didi Gregorius is out. Severino has struggled. So I know the Yankees have a weaker schedule than the Red Sox the rest of the way, but they have a lot of problems as well. I mean, if we were in New York, I don't think we'd be all that optimistic about the Yankees down the stretch.
No.
Yes.
All I'm saying is I've written a couple of columns in recent weeks saying, listen, don't be selling the playoff tickets and lining up your playoff parties and whatever it is, you know, playoff rotations and all that. Even Cora has said, I got to wait till September 1st and see where we are.
Right.
Even he has tried to throw a blanket on some of this stuff.
What I'm saying is a goof,
but I am looking at this team. And, yes, I am expressing concern about where they are right now. They've not been tested all season long. It's been a great big gas all season long.
What do you mean
they
haven't been tested all season long?
They've been just playing without pressure because they've been so good. They get off to a very fast start. They've been in first or near first all season long. So there has been no moment where they must test their souls. And, I mean, They lost 2 straight to the Indians, and then they win a game, and they're smoking cigars and dosing each other with champagne in the clubhouse. And I'm like, wow, that's like a little premature. So let's just, you know, all I'm saying is until Sale is back and winning games, until I start seeing pitchers go one turn through the rotation with seven-plus innings per start, yeah, I'm going to be a little concerned.
Well, you need
– you wanted something tangible. I want to see one turn through the rotation with starting pitches go 7-plus.
Well,
is that fair?
Yes, but you look at the personnel. Hector Velasquez, you know, Evaldi's been awful his last three starts.
You're making my point.
Erod, though, rehab start Monday.
Right.
He'll be on the way back.
Huge, huge.
So you plug Erod in, you get Velasquez out.
If he's okay, but he hasn't pitched yet, so you can't just...
Rick Porcello has been a borderline Cy Young candidate this year. I mean, does he continue the slide
another
5-6 weeks?
Rick Porcello has in no way been a borderline Cy Young Award candidate this year.
He was on
that. That's preposterous. That's just dumb.
Yeah,
he is not,
top 10.
No, he is not.
9 or 10.
He has not been a Cy Young candidate this year. I wasn't going to let that slide.
I'm ready for a new job on the Red Sox broadcast. I'm ready to take Ken's job here. That's what I'm auditioning for. But Rick Porcello, you're right. It's been hit around a bit. Start was okay against Cleveland. Prone to the long ball.
Ken's going to have the suckiest job in the world on a day when... It's like pitchers are taking 20 minutes between pitchers out in the mound and Barnes and Hembry, and you're the guy that's kind of jump in. You got to have that jump in. And in Chicago, the Cubs have.
Well, Mutt always says the timing is really hard. He says that's the hard part about
that
job.
I can totally see that.
Yeah. I would not be good at it. I'm not brief enough.
But you got to jump in, and then here's the pitch.
Yeah. You would be the worst at that job ever. the most long-winded person known to man. You'd be horrible. Horrible at that
Jeez,
job.
Thanks, Alex.
So
I
we
love
still,
you, too.
So we still haven't really spelled it out, though. So what's happened the last week and a half,
who
2 weeks?
Who hasn't done what?
You.
I just gave you because starting pitching, innings pitched.
Because what's happened...
And just to complete, Rick Porcello, Cy Young Award candidate. Woo-hoo.
What's happened the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is the starting pitching's been lousy. The bullpen's been lousy, and the offense has been lousy.
It's been a triple threat. I don't have to give you anything because you provide your
Over
own...
the next 5 to 6 weeks, though, this offense will start hitting like they were for the bulk of the season. This is a stretch. It's natural. It's 162 games. Stop me if you've heard this before. Players go through slumps. They go out of slumps. This lineup is too good.
Alex,
and even hold
your
on.
Response.
Hold on.
No,
even
no,
if,
you hold
even
on.
Even if
hold
the
on.
Pitching
your
continues
response,
to struggle,
you what's wrong
they will
with this
still
team.
Hit enough.
You ask me what's wrong with this team, and your response is this magical... preordained future where everything's suddenly got that's not analysis. That's just pom-pom waving.
No. Analysis is looking at an offense which has been the best in baseball for the entire season and saying this offense will be good enough to carry mediocre pitching the rest of the way in the regular season. Now, the playoffs is an entirely different conversation. You could play Houston in the first round. That is a bad, bad matchup. Oakland, I think, is a bad matchup for the Red Sox potentially in the first round. I'm with you for the playoffs, but for the rest of the regular season, as we've seen, they still play enough crappy teams,
Alex,
like this week against the Marlins and White Sox, and the offense, look, in the regular season, a great offense can carry a mediocre pitching staff. We've seen that time and time again.
Alex,
this Red Sox offense is good enough to do it. They will get out of this slump. They will.
If your starting pitching can't get through the fifth inning, McKay Club in the Yawkey League is a bad matchup.
Okay? So let's look
they
at,
can't beat anybody if they don't get good starting pitching
but starters,
from beyond the fifth inning.
Starters will go past the fifth inning.
Rick
Porcello will not have
the
stretch
me the magical,
for the rest of the
magical
way. Well, you're giving me the magical.
Future.
It's all going down. I mean,
no,
so
because it is. I'm giving you what has happened the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So I'm focusing on this is what has happened. Your response to everything I have said is the magical preordained future where everything will be
and
fine.
And I'm giving you what's happened the last 4 months. I'm giving you what's happened the last 4 months. I'm looking at a 4 month sample. You're looking at a 2 week.
Well, 4 months ago it was raining. Today it's sunny. We can only focus on what's happening right now.
But you would agree, in a long baseball season, teams go through stretches,
yes,
pitchers go through stretches.
Yes,
so let's look. So David Price has been great, right? So when you're talking about guys who can't go past the fifth inning, we're not including Price. So Rick Porcello, what does he have? In 7 ERA in September, 8 ERA?
Borderline Cy Young Award candidate.
Right. So what does that look like for Rick Porcello?
You really think he's a borderline Cy Young Award candidate?
He's closer to that than what you've been dubbing him as.
What I haven't dubbed him as anything. I'm just saying, did you see his last start? And
not
he gives
great.
Up a lot of home runs.
Not great. Lots of home runs. Yep. Not great. And the Jays have batted him around. Yep. Porcello has not been great as of late. But on the whole, you'd say he's had a good year, right? Rick Porcello on
yes.
the whole? Right. So for the next 6 weeks, does he not go past the fifth inning every time out? Does he not throw some good games? I mean, how does that work?
I don't mean to pivot. Did you see that Moreland error, which I just saw in a replay?
It was not great.
Listen, the guy only got one base. You can only charge him one error. But he basically made three errors on that
yeah,
one ground
not
ball.
Great. Not great. And by the way, the Rays... I love the Rays. In a league where everybody is tanking,
yep.
They're actually trying.
I agree.
They're trying. It's great.
Matt Duffy got, what, 3 hits today?
Yes.
Matt Duffy has been a favorite of mine because
Why?
He was an 18th round draft pick who was in the big leagues in a year and a half. That, like, never happens.
No, it never does.
You get, like, a top three pick, and, like, he's, you know, he's, like, fast trained to the big leagues. He's an 18th round pick that got to the minors. They just did a swing. I was talking to him about it one day, and all of a sudden, he's in the big leagues in 2014, 15 with the Giants, and now he's with these guys, and he's been hurt and stuff, but... I mean, those are the kind of guys that win you games.
Oh, Tommy Pham was a great deadline pickup. He had a good series. Jalen Beeks, my favorite stat is Jalen Beeks has as many wins against the Red Sox since the Eovaldi trade than Eovaldi has, period, in Boston.
Yeah, and I love that trade. And granted, I was going by Eovaldi's first two outings with the Red
Sox.
Right,
two shutouts. It's hard to be better.
And I'm not a Beek guy. I didn't know much about Beeks. I don't have a read on him, except that, Eovaldi's suddenly not pitching very well. And I had him making a postseason start for the same reason that I expressed concern a few minutes ago. You need innings guys in the postseason because and if you agree that the Sox don't have a great bullpen, which
it's not good.
And it puts more pressure in the postseason where one play, one home run, one error, one wall ball can change the course of an entire series. It therefore, especially on this team without a great bullpen, puts more pressure on starting pitchers to go deep into the game, which is the concern I'm laying at your feet right
so,
now.
So, but if we look at the rest of the regular season,
to go through it,
David Price has been great, okay? Rick Porcello has been down as of late. Home run ball, yes, but... Rick Porcello has had a good year. You still feel good about Rick Porcello every fifth day when he takes the mound, right? I do.
I feel a little concerned going in his next outing.
I still feel pretty good about Rick Porcello in the regular season.
He's one of those guys that's got to be fine because if his sinker sits up in the strike zone, guys
hit
it a mile.
So,
and when he hits a home, when a guy hits a home run off him, it stays hit.
So what we're talking,
he gives up bombs.
What we're talking about, though, on the whole, is 3 out of 5 slots in the rotation. You say, are they going to go 5 innings? But I'm telling you, this offense is good enough to carry a mediocre starting staff in the regular season.
Lately.
Buck, again, I can't believe I'm have to educate you how baseball works. It's 162 games.
They haven't had
a losing streak longer than three all year long.
The
law of averages. This was this was bound to happen.
You couldn't educate me about the infield fly rule, okay?
I don't know what the infield fly rule is. You're correct. Nor can I catch an infield fly either. Could never catch a pop-up.
That was a good comeback.
Yes. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. So, Buck, doom and gloom. Red Sox are going to fall to the Yankees. He's pushing the panic button.
Sure, go for it.
93 Giants. He's bringing out all the references. I'm waiting for, 67 Red Sox. Yeah, I can't do a 67 reference here.
You can go 51 Dodgers.
51, yeah, because 2011 is the easiest comparison, but that's far too current for you, right? Yeah, you got to go all the way back to,
you could do that.
Right. So that's why we bring him in. But I do share your concern, to use that word, about the playoffs with this Red Sox team because not looking great. Not looking great. We'll have a lot of questions with the rotation. And the bullpen as well. I mean, you know, Craig Kimbrell's pitching the ninth. I don't know who's pitching any other inning. I mean, Matt Barnes has allowed runs in 5 of his last 8. He's walked 29 this year, walking almost 5 guys per 9 innings. Ooh, that is not good. So again, taking your calls up till 7 o'clock. Red Sox Review, Buck and Reamer, 617-779-7937. We open up the phones right after this.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-2 from Eovaldi. Swung on and driven to the right center field gap. Mookie over there makes a sliding catch by Mookie Betts. Good jump. Had to go to his right, reached across his body, made the catch, and slid on one knee on the artificial grass. Runners can't advance.
That save through runs. That was a bullet.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Rays.
There's a shot toward left field. Down the line, Brock Holt on the run is not going to get it. It gets by him. 2 runs will score. Kiermaier on second, on his way to third for his second triple in as many days. It is 5-0 Tampa Bay.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
So I stand by everything I said to open the show, Buck, except Rick Porcello.
All right, I just want to, before you teach me more baseball.
But as of early August, he was good.
Before you teach me more baseball,
okay, sure,
in his last outing, Rick Porcello, who Alex, by the way, is touting as a Cy Young
No. I've retracted that statement. As of early August, he would have been a borderline.
We're going to be doing a lot of retracting between now and 7 o'clock, so let's just get to the first one. So five innings, three runs in his last outing.
Not great.
The one before that, seven innings, five runs.
Yep. And how many homers? Three.
And three home runs.
Yep.
And then before that, seven innings, one run. Very good. Against
who?
Against the Phillies,
yes, that's
a contending
right.
team.
10 Ks.
And then before that, four innings, seven runs.
Yep. And how about before that?
Nine innings, one run.
Against
that was
who?
Against the New York Yankees.
Oh.
Okay. So you're cherry picking the two good outings. I'm pointing out that there have been.
And you're cherry picking the two. And you're cherry picking the two bad outings.
I'll
and Tampa
the,
was
no,
okay.
Just, no, no.
Last
no,
night, five give, innings,
I'll
three
just,
runs.
I'll just
there.
Get one, two, three, four.
Eight Ks.
I'll just give you his last one, two, three, four, five, the last six outings, good ones and bad ones. And you look at the total picture, and you tell me if he's a Cy Young Award candidate.
No. I don't know who would say that. That's a crazy thing to say.
Okay, so we are like 12 minutes into the show, and you're
well. Hold on,
and
you're putting words in my mouth. Well, as of August 3rd,
let me finish. We're 12 minutes into the show, and you're already retracting some of your bold pronouncements that you made.
No.
As you said, you were going to teach me baseball.
No, as of 3 weeks ago, he was a borderline.
617.
Borderline
I'm taking over
candidate.
The show. 617-779.
Again, I feel good about David Price taking the hill. I don't think Rick Porcello will suck the rest of the way.
Right.
So then you're talking 3 out of 5. Yep. Don't feel
the
good.
The magical preordained future.
But this offense is too good, Buck. They're too good. They're not going to continue to slide like this. This week they're facing the Marlins for 2, then the White Sox for 4. Those teams are hot garbage. I mean, Tampa Bay, they're a wagon now. Hottest team in baseball.
They are.
Not sure if you're aware. So what happens this week then against Miami and the White Sox? Because for the swoon to happen, the Red Sox can't have a good week. That'll throw them off the pace.
But you keep doing this thing where you just throw confetti into the air and say everything's going to be all right.
I like confetti. I like rainbows. I like colors. I like pageantry. I was in Carnival in P-Town last week, Buck.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And I heard.
I'm still, yeah. 6 in a hotel room. 6 people, 2 beds. What'd you think of that?
Hilarity ensues.
Oh, yeah. It was a joy. I paid for a hotel and couldn't sleep in my own room.
There's
can you believe that?
Latch. You could close the door, you know. I don't want to go down there. So again, I'm giving you what has happened over the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking at that saying this isn't good. Your response to everything is this offense can't be shut down.
Well, they can't,
and everything's going to be magical.
Yes, for the regular season. Yes, and let's look at the Yankees. By the way, this week, White Sox, Tigers, those teams stink. Okay, but then next weekend they're at Oakland, at Seattle. I mean, so who's to say the Yankees are going to, or for the Red Sox, so here's another point I'm going to educate you on. In order for the Red Sox to blow this lead, the Yankees are going to have to
you're
go on a big run as
Rick
well.
Huh?
The Yankees are going to have to go on a big run as well. And with their depleted lineup, with their starting pitching questions, and again, at Oakland, at Seattle next weekend, I don't think that's going to happen
that
for the Yankees.
Old Alex used to question the man.
Oh, in the playoffs, I don't think the Red Sox got out of the first round. In the playoffs, no, I don't like them against Houston. I don't even like them against Oakland. Their best matchup would be the Yankees in the first round of the playoffs. But if we're talking the regular season, they will win this division. That's my point. What say you? 617-779-7937. Let's grab Andy in the car. Andy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. It's a great show. I love listening to you. So remember, I'm leaving the Cape and
good.
Got you guys on. It's very entertaining.
Excellent.
Remember I said if you're driving home from the Cape, huh?
What's that?
No, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Andy.
But anyway, I'm getting a real kick out of listening to you guys. It's like a sports version of 60 Minutes Point Counterpoint 20 years
it's
ago.
It's like we're an old, yes, exactly. You know? Crossfire.
If you,
Bucks Tucker Carlson.
It's terrific. I'm a Bostonian for the last 40 years, but I grew up in Philadelphia, and I bleed Philadelphia. From my youth, but a 13-year-old kid, we had the Phillies 7 games up with 11 games to go.
The Cardinals in '64.
Wait, let me tell you who we had. We had Chris Short,
and Jim Bunning,
Dallas Green, Tony Taylor, Bobby Wine.
Dallas Green. Dallas Green was a bit player on that team.
He was a fifth, right?
So how does this tie to the 2018 Red Sox, Andy?
Well, I'm just saying they totally tanked.
Uh-huh.
With 2
right.
weeks to go.
Teams in the past totally. Have tanked. Right. Do you think this Red Sox team will tank? 90-win Red Sox team.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
No one thought the Phillies were going to blow it. They were the hottest team in baseball until the last 2 weeks of the season. So, be that as it may, it can happen.
Okay, yes, it can happen. See, that's what Buck says, that's what you say, but when I ask you to explain how it happens, you come up empty. That's okay. It's all right.
Let's talk about Rick Pocillo winning the Cy Young Award again.
Again, you're putting words in my mouth. First of all, I said borderline, which would mean like 10, number 10, which he would have been as of 3 weeks ago before this slide. But on the whole, you would
see they're doing this new thing now where they count in a player's entire season.
Well, I'm cherry picking. Hey, 15 wins for Rick Porcello. I'm sorry. I still feel decent when he takes the hill. I do, especially against mediocre competition. I still feel decent when he takes the hill. Now, you want to talk about a concern, Buck, a real concern? Chris Sale. Oh, boy, this is not good. Still no timetable on Chris Sale for the Red Sox.
I thought you were supposed to be the blue bird of happiness.
We're transitioning.
Here.
We're transitioning now.
The role thing now?
Yeah.
Changing? Okay.
Yeah. No timetable on Sale still.
I thought everything was going to be rosy and
again,
and happy
for the playoffs. For the playoffs. The rest of the regular season, yes, the Red Sox can win the division, even if Chris Sale doesn't take the hill again.
Even so you'd be comfortable not having Chris Sale start into the playoffs?
Not comfortable, but they can win the division if Chris Sale doesn't start again in the regular season.
And you know, there's no like minor leagues to go to, and I don't know how many of the teams are in the playoffs and stuff, but even their minor league teams to go to the playoffs, that's over by the 9th or 10th of September.
Right.
So if he's not pitching in big league games, you know what he's doing? He's pitching simulated games down in Fort Myers.
Yes.
And which,
by the way,
ain't big league baseball.
By the way, he will be back at some point in September.
Okay.
He will be. You don't think he will be?
I don't know. I mean, I expressed concern the first time you're on the disabled list. You go on NBC Sports and with Burton on Channel 4, and they say, are you concerned? And I'll say, tall, skinny guy, throws 100 miles an hour, and a body part is hurting to the degree that he's on a disabled list.
And a history of faltering down the stretch.
And my answer is, yes, I'm concerned.
Oh, of course. So he goes on the DL before
that Yankee series. That's like, you shouldn't have to ask if you're concerned.
Right.
Yes,
well,
you should ask the measure of your concern.
Yes. Well, also, it comes back, one start, then back on the DL again. Oh, no, that's a real factor. There's no doubt about it. And that's why, you know, it seems almost funny to say with the 90-win Red Sox and how good they've been all year to be down on them in the playoffs.
You know Chris Sale's goofy nickname?
Yeah, what was it?
Conductor.
Oh, what'd you think of those this weekend?
It's all right. It's
yeah,
fun
not
for
great.
The kids.
Not that fun.
Fun for the kids.
I don't even know who the players are. I'm like, who is this guy? What are these nicknames? Oh. I don't know. Yeah, not a big... The Red Sox, they can't wait to get out of those jerseys, Buck. I've
JD
heard that
Martinez
joke a few times this
wacko.
Weekend.
It's up on the screen now.
Well, Dirty Craig. I like Kimbrel. Dirty Craig. Kimbrel did throw a clean inning today, right? Which is good. He hasn't had many of those recently. I mean, talk about the bullpen, right? So outside of Kimbrel in the ninth, where does anyone else slot in? You have no idea.
No, I don't.
No rules.
Why are you giving me this big bouquet of roses about how great things are going to be with the Red Sox? And for the last, it's almost like you left and some other guy came in here because this entire segment... You've done nothing but make my point.
It's like you're incapable.
Questionable bullpen. Chris Sale may not pitch again. I mean,
you're incapable of nuance. To quote Drellick here, you can have multiple opinions.
Is that
here.
A Drellick line?
I see gray. I see shades of gray. No, for the rest of we're having just, two different conversations.
Is Drellick the one without nuance, or is nuance something he throws out?
He likes to throw out the nuance. Yes, that's what he says. We're having two different conversations here. Okay, we're talking about A. Regular season, will they blow the division? I say no. I say the lead is still too big. There are still too many bad teams. I know the schedule gets tough in September, but still, you know, still.
How many in the last column?
Five games in the last column.
How many weeks left in the season?
Five or six, right?
Five. So you lose one game a week, and all of a sudden, poof.
I don't know if the Yankees are capable of going that kind of extended run with the injuries in their lineup and
Tampa
Severino.
Bay.
You think Tampa's going to come up, bring up the rear? But if we're talking about the playoffs, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't see how you could feel good about the Red Sox in the playoffs right now, today. But you can still say they will hold off the Yankees and win this division.
And I'm saying they probably will.
Right.
But I'm also looking at the way they look suddenly, and I'm like, six games against the Yankees. In fact, the media that covers the Red Sox, everyone was planning on having lots of people cover those six games for the simple reason that it would well determine the division. And then a week ago, people were up in the press box, maybe we'll only send one person here because they're going to wrap it up and so forth. Now, suddenly, that series is back on the radar again. They play three games in New York, then they play somebody else, and they came home, and they close out the regular season against the Yankees. Now, it would be incredibly fun. I'm not saying I want the Red Sox to lose so that those games mean something because my job isn't to root in any direction. But it would be more interesting and more compelling.
Of course.
If those three games were to determine the wild card.
Oh, without a
and
doubt.
The division winner.
No, I disagree.
What's that?
Oh, I disagree. Yeah. I don't think it would be compelling.
But they had a four-game series to close out the season back in, I think, 08.
Right.
And the Sox already had the division line. The series meant nothing. They played a day-night doubleheader on that Saturday or Sunday, the last weekend of the season, where they were throwing, they were pulling guys out of the stands to play down there because the games meant nothing. You don't want that. And I'm simply saying it could wind up meaning a lot more than it suddenly, than it looked a couple of weeks ago.
But I think we're viewing the Yankees here with rose-colored glasses. If we were in New York, right, after they get swept out of Fenway Park earlier this month with the injuries they've had, and you mentioned Severino's struggles, which, by the way, I think was totally easy to see happening with his innings increase from 2016 to 2017. You know, the Verducci effect, those pitchers don't fare well when they have a huge inning increase under 25, Severino's 24. So, you know, if we were in New York, I don't think we would be as up on the Yankees as you appear to be. You're looking at the Yankees with Rose.
I'm not up on the Yankees. I'm concerned about the Red Sox.
But the Yankees would still have to go on a good run to capture the division.
And I'll give you the thing I said every single year at this time. Somebody sits there and says the Red Sox would have to go 10-22 and the Yankees, and then every year it happens.
But I mean, I look at this lineup the Yankees had last night against Baltimore, which they did win, but you have Gardner leading off, Stanton, then your three hitter is Aaron Hicks, Miguel Andujar's cleanup, Neil Walker's
and
fifth,
Duhar.
Torres, Andujar, Voit, Luke Voit batting seventh. I don't even know who their catcher is. You know, Robinson, the right fielder's batting ninth. I mean, Shane Robinson, this is not, it's not that deep a Yankee line without judging Gregorius. It just isn't.
No, it's not.
And with all the injuries they're having, and we talked about the struggles in the rotation, I don't think the Yankees are capable of going on a run. And you also talk like the Yankees will beat the Red Sox when they go head-to-head in September. How'd the Yankees look in early August here
not
at Fenway Park?
Not so good, Alex.
How'd they look, Buck, huh?
It's pretty bad.
Right.
Pretty bad.
Right.
So, once again, Alex, teaching me baseball.
So if we were in New York, you would not just say, oh, six games? Oh, it's, you would say, oh, well, I don't know how the Yankees are going to fare during that. They did not look good last time these two teams met up.
Except that sometimes when a team goes an entire season without having pressure on it, and suddenly there is pressure, a la the 2011 Red Sox, where suddenly there was pressure in September and they folded like a cheap suit. So,
but why? Why has there not been pressure on the
Red Sox?
Yeah, I guess I've never really worn a cheap suit. You know, no. I'm a Ferragamo guy. why? But why have the Reds? Why has there been no pressure on the Red Sox this season? August 26th, you say there's been no real pressure
because they got off to like a 19-1 start and they've been coasting ever since.
Because they've been great. They've been great. That's why. And I'm already and last week, they showed us their resilience. They lose two against Cleveland. They're facing a real good pitcher, Carlos Carrasco, Wednesday, and they chase him after 3 2/3. And then the following day, David Price goes down and goes out there and has one of the best starts of his entire career. So they've already shown me they can stop the bleeding. They've already shown me that.
So what's my response supposed to be? Okay.
Yes, well, I'm giving you a rebuttal. The 2011 Red Sox didn't pick themselves up like that in September.
No, they did not.
Yeah, and this team already has shown they can do it, Buck.
Okay, you are continuing to conveniently leave out the fact, and you haven't addressed it yet to my satisfaction.
That's the key phrase there, to my satisfaction,
that the starting rotation suddenly has issues going deep into games.
Right.
On a team with a spotty bullpen.
Right. But also a team with the best offense in baseball.
Okay, is that your answer to everything?
Yes, in the regular season, good hitting can carry bad pitching or mediocre pitching. We've seen it a million times.
When they get to the playoffs?
When they get to the playoffs,
they
can't.
I already told you, they're not going to get out of the division. Okay.
Right. We're having two different conversations. Okay. Playoffs, I totally agree with you.
No, we're having one conversation, and I'm concerned about starting pitching right now.
As you should be.
And if your starting pitchers can't get you into the seventh inning on a routine basis, your big fat offense isn't going to help you every single game.
But it can help you enough to preserve a 6.5 game lead.
How'd that work today?
Did not work great because they were going up against Blake Snell, a great starting pitcher, and they were
more than borderline.
He's a borderline favorite. How about that? 6-1-7.
He just pushed Porcello down the depth.
Yeah, Porcello's now number 11 or 12. So Buck, wow, what a breaking story there. If the starting pitching doesn't go 7 innings, you're in trouble. Wow, I never heard that one before.
But you didn't know it.
Buck will continue to educate me about baseball on the other side.
Says
and
Alex,
I do,
who says Rick Porcello is a Cy Young Award candidate. No, I'm sorry. He retracted that.
As of August 30 was. I'm going back in time to early August.
So stay tuned from now till 7 o'clock. Every segment, Alex will retract something he said in the previous segment. That's going
to
be fun.
And also, I do want to beat you around about David Price a little bit because I think the standing ovation that he got at Fenway Park showed that
up. You're going to beat me up.
I'm going to beat you up. But you were leading the charge against him last year with Eckersley. He can never step foot in the city again. He'll never be loved in Boston.
If you can find a statement where I said that, I'll give you my house. Find where I said that.
I don't want your house, really.
All right.
Somerville's a little far from me. You have a condo in the South End? I'll take you up on it. Back after this.
They all feel as good. As doesn't matter who you're pitching against. You know, if you're pitching against the Orioles or these guys, you know, I mean, anybody in this division especially can put up runs, you know, in bunches. So to go out there and, you know, throw the ball well, that feels good no matter who you do it against.
The whole David Price thing just goes to show you, Buck, how ridiculous his paranoia is and was. The media doesn't treat me fairly. The fans, you know, not going to give the fans credit for anything. Guy gets two standing ovations Thursday. Mm-hmm. One in the seventh, one in the eighth, for six good regular season starts. So David Price, you've unlocked a mystery. You want to be beloved in Boston? Just have a few good games. There you go.
It's as simple as that.
As simple as that.
And the thing is that fans want to love the players. Yes. They want to love every one of them.
Yes.
And if you give them performance, if you give them effort, if you give them accountability, they will love you.
What did you make earlier in the week last week, Price was asked about the adjustments he's made. He says, you got to do your own homework. Johnny Miller comes back, does the homework. What was your take on that whole thing?
I thought he was being obnoxious.
Yeah.
He could just answer the question. And Johnny is someone that was a veteran radio guy when I broke into the business. He's been around that long. And I don't like it when people are rude to Johnny, of all people, because you get a certain cachet when you've been in the business that long. Just answer the guy's question. So he pissed off Johnny. Johnny went, looked at some videotape and came back with some answers. But that's David Price. I mean, even on a good day when he's pitched well and people are asking him softball questions, he's going to be that guy. But again, it's – If I had asked that question, or Shaughnessy, or someone, the guys that tend to be a little snarky now and then, no one would care. I think the fact that it was Johnny Miller, I think that raised some eyebrows.
Amongst media members, fans don't care.
Probably not.
Fans hate the media.
Although I did hear a guy on the radio the other day called and complained that how could he treat Johnny that way. But I agree with your larger point. And it still goes back to, if he pitches well, and he's accountable, which is part of the arrangement. And you know, the reason guys like Mo Vaughn and Valentin going back in the day, recently Pedro Ortiz, they tended to be very accountable when they pitched poorly or played poorly. And but again, pitches well, gets them into the postseason, wins a postseason start, they go to the World Series. I mean, everything's going to be great.
Well, and we even saw that last year. So the Eckersley thing is the biggest story, you know, of the summer here in Boston, at least till the Patriots training camp began. But then the fans were loving him in late September and certainly in October, and he was pitching well out of the bullpen. So it just shows you how quickly all that stuff can be erased.
Yeah, he was pitching well in the bullpen in a lost cause, though. And by the way, I've written this a million times. His pitching in the postseason was phenomenal. I mean, his pinpoint control, he was throwing 94 miles an hour, and if you look at the replay, the pitches were touching the black by 1/16th of an inch. I mean, when he is on, he is on.
So explain to me how that works, though. So you can pitch well in innings 6 through 9 in the playoffs, but when it's 1 through 6, you can't? I don't quite understand how that works.
And I can't explain it, and I don't think he can. The big one to me was his lone postseason start as a member of the Red Sox.
Awful.
Was against Cleveland, right, in the division. And I have to look at it. Was it Lonnie Chisholm who hadn't hit a home run off,
yep,
a lefty in like, yep, a year and a half?
Takes him deep right
Takes
away.
Takes him deep. And I'm like, well, that isn't good.
No.
And then to illustrate that it was on his mind, during the post-game scrum,
right,
I believe it was Trenny, who...
The late, great Trenny,
who asked him about his having not won a game in the postseason. And he interrupted and said, as a starter, I've won two games. And I'm like, okay, all right, settle down. And the mere fact that he felt it necessary to correct, the larger point was, you haven't won a game as a starter. So the question might not have been posed to his liking, but the mere fact that he answered in that way suggested that, yes, this is on his mind. So when you ask me, how is it you can pitch well in innings 6 through 9, but not 1 through 6, there's obviously, and again, we saw that start against Cleveland in the division series. There's obviously something that weighs on him going into these starts.
I just don't buy that still, though. I mean, 9 postseason starts is still, relatively speaking, a small sample for a guy like David Price.
No, it's not.
And we've seen this time and time again in baseball. Randy Johnson couldn't pitch well in the playoffs until he pitched well in the playoffs. Alex Rodriguez couldn't hit and win in the playoffs until he hit and won in the playoffs. So eventually, The cream, I'm going to educate you again, Buck. Eventually, the cream rises to the top, and David Price, with the way he's throwing right now, he's going to shake those postseason fears away this October. Price will pitch well in the opening round.
Yeah, but are you?
Now, I'm not sure about anything else. I'm not sure if Chris Sale even takes Hill, and if he does, if he lasts. I'm not sure about Rick Porcello in the playoffs. So who in the world is starting number four? I hear you there.
Okay, this is David Price's 11th Major League season.
Right.
And if you go to postseason pitching, and this is the total package. I'm even going to throw in his two wins. He's 2-8 with a 5.03 ERA in 17 appearances. That's not enough of a sample size for you?
For a guy's career, no. Nope. In baseball, Buck, that's a small sample. What are you new at this?
No. What are you talking about? It's 9 starts over 8 seasons.
Yeah, but 9 starts, that's it. You get one or two per postseason.
Boy, you need help.
How about Randy Johnson? What was his postseason track record prior to 2001?
I want you to announce to the world right now that we have a small sample size of David Price's ability to win.
In comparison to his career, 9, yeah. Yeah, right.
Wow.
Right. Well, I mean, we've seen it time and time again. How about A-Rod? He couldn't hit. He chokes, and he has a great postseason in 2009. Right?
I'm still getting over the small sample size with David Price.
How many career starts does David Price have?
In the postseason?
No, in his career.
But you're measuring an entire season versus the postseason.
I know,
that means that by using your math, everybody's sample size is
284 starts in his career. Now, of course, everybody's postseason track record is a small sample size.
You have to measure the postseason what the postseason is all about. You're making absolutely no sense here.
I'm a stat guy.
You're saying that the sample size for David Price's ability to win a postseason start is small.
Yes. In comparison to his career, yes.
Well, of course, yes. In comparison to his
career. Yes.
Listen, don't interrupt. Listen very carefully. In that case, every single player, there would be no such thing as a sample size because nobody's postseason numbers. Curt Schilling, was he a great postseason performer?
He was.
That's a small sample size. It's only like 20 starts. How many starts did he make in his career?
Well, yeah, but he was great in the playoffs. And David Price so far has been bad in the playoffs.
No. Hold on.
You're changing the argument on me.
No, I'm not.
I'm not denying that David Price has been bad in the playoffs.
No. You said it's a small sample size,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And you said how many starts has David Price made in his career,
yes.
Right?
284.
Okay. Curt Schilling in his career made 436 starts. Okay. In the postseason, he's only made 19. That's a small sample size.
Yeah, it is. And he was great in that small sample size, yes.
But do we agree that Curt Schilling was a great postseason performer?
And we also agree that David Price, to this point, has been a bad postseason starting pitcher.
But you said it was a small sample size.
Yes, but you can be bad in a small sample size.
No, who's on first? No, you can't.
Who's
have
on second?
Ways.
Who's on third?
No, you're trying,
going
now
around
you're
in
pivoting,
circles.
Changing
here.
The subject. I've just totally annihilated you on this. You said that it's a small sample size for David Price because of the number of regular season starts. I gave you Curt Schilling's many more starts, 436, and yet only 19 postseason starts. But you do agree he's a great postseason performer.
Yes, and I agree David Price has been a bad postseason performer.
But we agree on that. No, you just said it was a small sample size.
But you can be bad in a small sample size.
But that's all that counts is what we're talking about.
Yes, but eventually
the great players perform.
Eventually, when they get enough cracks at it,
We should not talk about baseball the rest of the show.
Sean in Idaho, please bring some sanity to the program.
Yeah, because he needs it.
You need it.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I mean, definitely insanity. I mean, it's so frustrating the way they played. I mean, today it looked like I was watching a peewee team. I mean, the team didn't look good at all. They didn't hit. They weren't even attempting to do anything. I mean, I could just say this with the Red Sox. You better clip this weekend behind and make this week better because it should not be 6.5. We should be up a lot more than just 6.5 in the AL East. And I know you can't win every game, but now, gentlemen, it is not the time to be going on a slump, especially when we're in late August and we're in the heat of the pennant race.
Ooh, do you think the Red Sox have peaked too early, Buck? That's Sean. I think that's what Sean's getting at. No? Now you're giving me the silent treatment because I've annihilated you so much.
Wait a minute. How have you annihilated me?
Because you
you said, okay, let's go through the numbers. You said that I can't look at David Price's postseason record because it's a small sample size.
When did I say that? When did I say you can't look at his postseason record?
Oh, boy.
What are you talking about? I just said, yes, nine starts relative to his career is a small sample size. Playoff performances in general are a small sample size. Did you read Moneyball, Buck?
I did.
You should read it. It's a good book.
I did read it.
You'll learn a thing or two. Lewis in Brooklyn, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
The problem with Moneyball is it left out the best starting pitcher in baseball.
Details. And to Hod and Eric Schaff. Scott Hatterberg was on all A's team. What's up, Lewis?
I just listen to you guys, and I'm thinking something interesting, a bit of irony. So it comes down to the last game of the season this year. The Red Sox need to win. They need the Yankees to lose. They beat the Yankees, forcing a one-game playoff in Fenway Park 40 years later. Sound familiar?
Oh, Buck, I think you got a calm idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it.
Can he steal it from you, Lewis?
Done it before.
No, I came up with it all on my own.
Wow.
Time today.
Wow. And how would the scenario go out, Lewis? Who would win this game?
You got to let the baseball guy determine that one.
That's good. Then Alex I'll determine it. Qualified then.
I'll determine it. The thing is, though, out of the potential first-round opponents for the Red Sox, the Yankees are the best draw.
I would agree with that.
Because even Oakland, I mean, lousy starting pitching.
Oakland's the team that's going to embarrass somebody in the postseason if they're there.
Especially with the way baseball is now. Because it really, in the playoffs, you need starter go. You can survive if a starting pitcher goes five innings if you have a lights-out bullpen, which
they
do. You know
what the funny thing is? You mentioned Moneyball.
I did.
And the whole book is a pain to Billy Beane and what a genius he is. And in the book, they've got Billy Beane making fun of Kenny Williams, who is the general manager of Chicago White Sox. The only tiny problem with that is that Billy Beane has never even been to the World Series, let alone won one.
No.
And Kenny Williams put together a team in 05 that won the World Series. For all the credit everyone wants to give Billy Beane for revolutionizing baseball, he still has not put together a team to even make the World Series.
But Billy Beane, his body of work on the whole with Oakland is more impressive than Kenny Williams's was in Chicago.
Yes, it is.
But
I agree with you. I'm just saying that maybe, button it a little bit in terms of making fun of other GMs.
Ralph is in Cranston. Ralph, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the time. Buck, you could probably answer this better.
Must not be a baseball question.
We've seen a lot of baseball here. We kind of figured that this team may run into some type of a slump or a slowdown or something or a funk, and they certainly look like they're in one now. How important the fact that they don't have that guy in the club, I don't think they do anyway, that Ortiz, not really the production, but that guy, that Johnny Gomes, that somebody there that can look at these guys and say, hey, what the hell are we doing? Come on, let's go. A rah-rah type of...
Yeah, I think J.D. Martinez has
I'm
been
sorry,
that guy.
I thought he asked me the question because Buck,
well,
you can
it was a
that.
Baseball question, so I thought I would handle it.
No, because
I would agree with Alex. I think J.D. Martinez is that guy. I think he is not as demonstrative as David Ortiz was, but then again, who is? That's almost unfair to compare the next clubhouse leader to David Ortiz. And I believe that when you hear anecdotally about all the younger players that are working with him and he with them, now is he beating his chest and throwing bats and doing all that cool stuff that we like to see? No. Does he say funny stuff to the media? No. Does he march into the managers' meetings and argue with umpires? No, he doesn't do all that. But I think if you when people say, oh, this is basically the same team as last year, it's not for two key reasons. Number one, John Farrell is gone. He had lost the clubhouse. I wrote that all last year. And they've got J.D. Martinez now. And again, to go back what Alex said, I think he's big in that clubhouse.
I agree, Buck, but, I've got to tell you, and I don't think anyone would agree with this, but the guy who could possibly do it, and I know he's been horrible, has made a ton of mistakes with the press, is possibly Price. He's this ornery guy, but the teammates seem to like this.
They do love him.
They do.
They really do. Is he the guy? He's got this gruff attitude to yell at them, and say, come on, let's go. He may have that ability as much as most fans don't like him and the media can't stand him. He may be the only one that has that orneriness that I thought. Buck, I just want, and I didn't single you out because you know more about baseball, but you've seen a lot the past, and you've seen so many guys like this, these rah-rah guys that carry the team.
Yeah. He asked you because you're old, Buck, not because you're baseball acumen. That's what Ralph was saying.
Well, you got so upset when he directed this question to me. You haven't stopped chirping.
But I answered it, though, correctly. J.D. Martinez has been that guy.
You're incredible.
I am incredible. We'll go to break on that note. 617-779-7937. Buck and Reamer taking your calls. Doom and gloom. Panic button. Speaking of panic button, we will get to the Patriots as well. later on. Eric Decker retired. That leaves the receiving core. Ooh, Philip Dorsett. My man Braxton Berrios hasn't even found the field. What is going on with the Patriots? Tom Brady, talk about the panic button. I'm panicking about this receiving core, Buck. We'll do all that and more with your phone calls. Sports Radio, WEEI. Reamer here riding solo till 7. Buck has fallen on the carpet because he was beaten up so much so far this program.
Is that where you're going with this?
I had to drag you up off the carpet. Okay, I mean,
since you brought it up, let's, for someone who's just getting in their car, you said that I can't use David Price's postseason record because it's a small sample size.
I'll let you finish, and then I'll correct the record.
Okay.
I'm fact-checking you. I've been taking my notes.
You compared it with his X number of regular season starts. And then I asked you if Curt Schilling was a great postseason performer, and you said yes. He made 437 career starts and only 19 postseason starts.
Right.
So you see how your argument, your sophomoric argument, caves in on itself.
No.
With three simple sentences.
Because you can be good in a small sample size. You can be bad in a small sample size.
Then why did you say it was a small sample size?
Because it's a small sample size. It's 9 starts. That's why.
What?
Because it's a small sample size. It's 9 starts. That's why.
I said David Price has been a bad postseason performer.
He has been.
And you said it's a small sample size.
Yes, he has been bad, but it's only been 9 starts. Yes.
So it's a small sample size.
Yes.
Was Curt Schilling a great postseason performer?
Yes.
And that's not a small sample size?
It is. Playoffs in general are a small sample size.
But that's, you can only measure it against other players' postseason numbers.
I agree. And on the whole, Price has been an awful playoff pitcher.
Alex.
Making a lot of sense.
No, you're
with the role
no
that
sense.
Price is on, it will continue to October.
So what you do is your fallback is to insult me because you realize that you're failing badly in this discussion.
Behind David Price, though, I mean, that's where it gets ornery. That's where it gets tough with the Red Sox in October, though. Because I have faith in Price right now at this moment. But
okay,
after him,
there you go.
No, I don't.
The magical preordained future.
I'm just trying to project as that's what we do. We're prognosticators here, Buck. Scott's in Boston. Scott, what's up?
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going? Great show. But, Buck, I totally disagree with you. Alex is spot on.
Okay.
There we go, Scott.
So just,
have all know, the time just, you want.
All right. No, thanks. But just hear me out. Price... Yes, he's been a bad postseason pitcher as a starter.
And that's all I'm saying.
But it doesn't preclude him from being good in the future.
Well, that's not what Alex was claiming. That's a different discussion.
It is, though. It's a small sample size.
Thank you,
Scott. Alex,
yes.
Shut up.
Say that. In the past, he's been bad, yes, but he's got good stuff, and every dog has his day. He's not necessarily going to be bad going forward. Like, look, Pete and
Boy, that's a real shouting from the treetops.
There you go, Scott. I like it.
He's not necessarily going to be bad.
Somebody,
in the
yes, finally, Woo-hoo! Someone's talking some sense here.
Preclude him from being good. He has been bad. I agree, Buck. He's been bad as a starter. He was great as a reliever against us, whatever year.
Yeah, he was great out of the bullpen just last year.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't bet my house on it or nothing.
Why not?
I don't have a house.
I'll
bet a couch.
Yeah, I'll bet a couch. But he's not precluded from being good going forward. If he's pitching good, you know.
And we have seen him pitch well just last year. You don't have to go back that far, Scott. You can just go back to last October.
Happy days are here again, pal.
I will say this, though, about David Price. He could go on an incredible Koufax-esque run all the way to the World Series. I still don't think he opts out. I think he stays here.
I would agree with that because I don't think anyone else is going to give him that kind of money.
Right. What is it, $127 million?
The only thing is, and just to be clear, I agree with you. Sometimes quality of life needs to take center stage.
Right.
And if indeed his quality of life is not here, what he would want it to be and what he thinks it can be elsewhere, then get out.
But is that worth $50 million? Because I think, so he has $127 million left on his deal over the next 4 years. On the free agent market, you look at what Yu Darvish even got, and he's hurt now. So it's another harbinger of doom for signing these pitchers to long-term deals. Price with the elbow still hasn't been repaired. You know, let's say he gets $80 million on the open market. Is happiness worth a $50 million cut in pay? I don't know. It's a big difference.
And the thing is, I assume he's not living in a, you know, studio apartment
no,
in West Roxbury. I think he's, wherever he lives, can we comfortably say it's a nice place?
Probably pretty nice, yeah.
Okay. And I have to assume he's got, like, headphones and big screen TV and access to old movies and music and whatnot.
Well, you have to be rich. I have access to old movies and music too.
That's my point.
And I'm very poor.
So can he not wall himself off from all these alleged distractions that exist in Boston?
Has not done a great job of that, though.
No, he's not.
But he's been off the Twitter machine, which is good for him.
The Twitter machine. I would make it work. I would put the headsets on and listen to the music and watch the movies and whatnot, and get a place that's big with a balcony and cool things and accoutrements and so forth, and wall myself off. I build a wall and get away from all these distractions.
Oh my God, turning to a Trump guy too. I feel like I don't even know you. Blair is in Maine. Blair, hi.
What's going on?
What's up?
So are you really poor? I don't believe it one little bit after you've been on radio for how many months and how many years and on, what, TV, Reamer?
No, I'm not really on TV, no. I have a face for radio.
Oh, I thought you were on TV. My bad. I thought you were the one that I see on TV at night at 9 o'clock on NBC Sports Boston.
That's me.
Yeah, it's Buck, the big TV star over here to my left.
Oh, you're all... Okay. Well... I'll be listening to this show tonight at 9 and calling in, so hopefully...
Well, you're calling us now, though, Blair. What do you got for us now?
What do I have for you now?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs and be totally fine, even though the Yankees are calling...
You got Blair from Maine in your corner, Alex. It shut me right up.
There you go. Thanks, Blair. Yep. We're having, again, regular season, they'll win. They'll squeak out and win the division. Now, in the playoffs, nope, I am not confident at all in this team. Not in the least.
I have nothing left to say. Once Blair weighed in your favor, I had nothing more to offer.
But, I mean, and you look at, though, you look at this bullpen, for example, right? Like, we know Kimbrel's pitching the ninth, but at this stage, you didn't feel great about Kimbrel in the playoffs. I mean, how did he perform last year? And only, I think, 5 clean innings since June 22nd for Craig Kimbrel. I mean... Even though he's your guy in the ninth, I don't feel great about him right now.
Not right now. But he pitched a clean eighth.
He did. Right. Well, they need to get him some work.
Yeah.
I think he's only had like 3 appearances.
Yeah,
three by
the
or four
way,
appearances
that's the silver
this
lining
month.
Of today's game, then we need more silver linings.
No, the silver lining is the nickname jerseys were great. Nickname jerseys.
You didn't buy into that.
No, not really.
Well, you're not 9. This whole thing is for kids. Growing the game with kids.
I don't know if that really helps.
I don't know that it does either, but I'm telling you what their
goal was. How long
was
today's game? Like 3.5 hours? Cut it down to 2.5. Then you'll market it to kids.
No, I agree with that, too. I've been saying that for years.
Oh, wait. You think baseball games are too long?
Yes.
So, wow, we get an all from Buck. Baseball games are too long. Teams have blown big leads before.
Wait a minute. Why are you mocking me when I say games are too long as though it's like I came in here with a cold take? You took me down that road.
No,
you
I
asked
didn't.
Me the
I
question.
I did. And I had the cold take before you. And no. I set you up for the cold take. David is in Florida. David, what's up?
Gentlemen, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, David.
How are we doing? You know, Buck, you're a little older, so let's have a little.
I'm a lot comparison. Older. Let's call it what it is.
Let's have a little comparison. Where were the Yankees? How far back were they on this date in 1978?
On this day in 7.5.
Seven
really?
And a half. And what are they right now?
They're at 6.5, but it's 5 in the loss.
Yeah, where's the Pablo Bell? Break out the Pablo Bell can of Clinton,
Well, did the Yankees in 1978 not have Aaron Judge, not have Didi Gregorius, not have Gary Sanchez, have Luis Severino pitching poorly, Sabathia hurt? I mean, you can't really make that comparison, David.
I mean, I've said it all the time this entire season. I mean, the team has made Alex Cora look good. He has made an awful lot of tactical decisions that were bizarre.
Like what?
Pinch hitting and not pinch.
No,
hitting.
I disagree. I don't think he's. I think early in the season, I think there was one particular game where he didn't sub out on defense in the ninth inning.
Bradley game. Yeah,
there've been a few here and there, but nothing that's really. I mean, Mickey Callaway and the Mets has made some. What's that?
Last week there was a game. He just seemed so arbitrarily just pinch hit Nunez for Brock Holt, and then the other night he just pinch hit Brock Holt for Nunez, and it just seemed so random, so inconsistent. I mean, the base stealing. I mean, last night when Benintendi got picked off second again.
By the way, I was right on the money. 7.5 games.
I mean, it's just
that's scary.
I mean, the base running is still.
I hope that mind is something else.
7.5, and how many games do they have left with each other?
6
Two series, right?
I know, but David, the Yankees will have to win those games for it to matter. And how they look last time these two teams played?
they'll have to take 5 out of 6, the Yankees.
Yeah, and they're not going to do it.
I'm looking at the schedule ahead. The Yankees have a tough West Coast trip.
Right.
Where they got, but that'll be make or break for them. Oh, but it's getting fun now, isn't it? I mean, a week and a half ago, it was 10.5. Now it's only 6.5. And, I mean, this team could very easily choke. I mean, they got an inexperienced manager. They've got young players who have...
Well, the experience hasn't hampered them so far.
I'd be careful with the inexperience.
And Cora was on the World Series team last year as a bench coach for the Astros.
Cora's not, but this is his first year.
But what I'm saying is there a lot of teams. Bob Brenly was an inexperienced manager, the 0-1 Diamondback, Dick Williams.
And Aaron Boone is an inexperienced manager too, David, the man who's going to shepherd the Yankees through this incredible run, according to you.
If the inexperience of their manager is the best you can come up with, then you're concerned.
Has there ever been a rookie manager who's won the World Series? Brenly's the only one I can think of.
But Brad Ausmus's Tigers had great success.
How about Tom Kelly in 87?
Oh, there's a guy.
I mean, and like the two of you have been saying back and forth, I mean, the pitching staff this year's pitching staff has been very...
Sure, but that has nothing to do with Alex Cora.
...in the postseason. I mean...
What does that have to do with Alex Cora's lack of experience?
No, I'm just... That's another factor to consider. Yeah. I mean, Price, Sealy in the postseason, I mean, this is going to be... It could get ugly.
Yeah, we've kind of crossed that bridge. I mean, no teams all the time hire inexperienced managers and do well.
Tom Kelly was named manager for 20 games in late 1986, and then as a rookie manager in 87, they won the World Series.
There you go, David in Florida.
That was off the top of my head.
Very impressive. I am still in awe that you were able to nail the 78th standing. I mean, you are the real deal. You're the real deal. One of the worst tweets I had a couple weeks ago, speaking of Cora's in-game decisions, was in Philly, Rick Porcello. They pinch hit Brock Holt for him.
And I gave you props for that.
And I'm like, is Brock Holt really a better option than Rick Porcello? One pitch later, boom, home run.
You could very easily have made that go away. And you left it up there, and you got beat about the head and neck for an hour and a half by everybody on Twitter. And I was very impressed with
that. I even tagged Old Takes Exposed. I was waiting for that.
I was very impressed.
So you know that account, like Old Takes Exposed, the freezing cold takes, they'll tweet back media members, like their awful takes. I wrote an article in 2014 about how this is the time to trade Mookie Betts. There's a surplus in the outfield, and he's the expendable one.
Will you win the trade, Jackie, now, camp?
No.
Because that's a freezing cold take.
Oh, yeah. No. Jackie Bradley, when he's not hitting, deserves a spot in the
lineup. There are a lot of people. Trade him now. Why, he's got some value. I'm telling you, leave him alone. Leave him in center field. Let him do his thing.
Even when he's not hitting, he should be in there. 617-779-7937. 1 hour down, another to go. It's Red Sox Review with Buck and Reamer, Sports Radio WEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.